Christian School Management wants to partner with your Christian school, bringing hope. Since 2017, we have provided advice and counsel to hundreds of Christian schools. Our consultants, books, surveys, and online trustee training are Christian, research-based, and represent over 400 years of experience. Are you struggling? Our mission is to bring prosperity. Are you strong and growing? Our mission is to deepen your leadership and stewardship. Go to ChristianSchoolManagement.org and find out more. Entheos is our free advice and counsel letter that is read by over 1,100 Christian school leaders a week. Go to ChristianSchoolManagement.org and sign up your leadership team. For Jesus, through mission, with students. Let CSM partner with you. The Babyface Pro FS, the last portable interface you'll ever need. Meet the world's most versatile, portable, and expandable audio interface that delivers the best audio quality wherever your creative journey takes you. The second generation of the Babyface Pro improves all elements again: sound quality, mic pre's, instrument inputs, lowest noise, headphone IEM outs, and ultra-low latency. All RME elements are industry-leading representatives of its kind. Visit rme-usa.com.
So, do you ever speak to an audience or record your voice for work? Do you record, say, company podcasts, or maybe you lead training seminars? Or maybe you give customer presentations or investor pitches? Or what about recording social videos or even an audiobook? If so, then you've got to know how important it is to maintain your professional image. However, 98% of people who speak or record for work damage their professional image when they do. They appear unpolished, and it damages their professional image. And that is where I step in. I'm a speaking and presentation feedback coach, and for 36 years, I've helped thousands of CEOs, celebrities, authors, politicians, business professionals take the spotlight by giving them real-time feedback and specific adjustments on their speaking style, their lighting setup, their sound quality, their body language, and their visual appearance. Everything they need to look and sound amazing. So listen, you only have one professional image. Be kind to it. If you speak or present for work, get in touch with me before you speak or present for work. Reach me at david@edgestudio.com. Again, david@edgestudio.com. Thank you.
It's the Messiah Community Radio Talk Show. This is Michael James Lauren, your host. We have a book called The Miracles of Jesus, How the Savior's Mighty Acts Serve as Signs of Redemption. Our special guest, Dr. Vern Poitras, he joins us. Welcome.
Yes, thanks you for inviting me.
Our sponsors, Real Traps, is the premier source for high-performance acoustic treatment, including bass traps, broadband absorbers, and diffusers. Once a room has been properly treated, clarity and articulation of music and speech improve enormously. Whether you're a professional recording engineer, audiophile, or home theater owner who wants the best sound possible, upgrade your entire system with acoustic treatment from Real Traps. Visit realtraps.com. I have no idea how we tend to look over these miracles of Jesus. I mean, miracles. And maybe we're callous people every day. I have no idea. But there's so much awe that the people in Scripture, the disciples, the people around, seeing miracles of Jesus. And we want to get into that. And especially what's interesting is about how you say that they serve as signs of redemption. As far as the book goes, where do we begin?
I think the miracles function in several ways. Well, one, they show that God exists, because we have a problem in our day with people feeling that we're boxed in by impersonal scientific laws out there. But God is personally ruling the world, and the laws are expression of his regular governance and providence. So the miracles are useful in reminding us that we have a personal God and he does whatever he wants. He can work exceptionally. The resurrection of Christ is the core and most important miracle of all. And that is important. Yes. That we believe that that actually happened. So that's one point. A second thing, which I think many Christians understand, is that the miracles demonstrate that Jesus is a true prophet. They confirm his claims, and they actually also show that he's God. Some of the miracles, like the stilling of the storm, only God can still a storm. Only God can forgive sins. There's a miracle of healing the paralytic where Jesus makes that point. But I think it is less common for Christians to understand and notice that the miracles are pictures of the central miracle of all, of our salvation in Christ, in his death and resurrection.
Yes. Dr. Poitras, it seems like the Lord continuously in Scripture, whether it be the characters in the Bible, the real people, of course, and also people who read his word, has to take us to that place where we must see miracles in part and parcel with redemption, because you can't believe that Jesus is Lord, you know, without believing who he is and the deity and all that. And there are a lot of miracles that lead us to that fact. You know, it's not always just a logical conclusion. The Lord has to take us to a place that seems almost illogical or a stretch of faith, a leap of faith. And those miracles kind of produce that, right, as far as changing the heart.
They have a message as well as being spectacular, right? The people of the time were amazed at what happened. And it was right that they were amazed because it was completely out of the ordinary. And people were galvanized, for instance, by the resurrection of Lazarus. And rightly so, because this is an extraordinary miracle. But again, what is sometimes missed is that these miracles are not just arbitrary. They're not just displays of power, but they have this meaning. And the resurrection of Lazarus is a good place to start because it anticipates Jesus' resurrection. Of course, Lazarus, when he's raised back into the same body, right? So eventually he's going to die a natural death. So his resurrection, spectacular as it is not on the same order as Jesus' resurrection, because Jesus' body is then transformed so that he can never die again. So there's a picture in the resurrection of Lazarus that's pointing to the resurrection of Jesus himself. And then Jesus' resurrection is the guarantee that our own bodies, when we place our faith in him, we have the guarantee that our own bodies will be raised, to have bodies like his own resurrection body. So there's a lot there. Well, that's only one case, the resurrection of Lazarus. There are others that are not so obvious. You take the healing of the paralytic, and the opponents of Jesus say, they're scandalized when he says, your sins are forgiven. And they say, who can forgive sins but God alone? And so then Jesus heals the paralytic, and he says that you may know that the Son of Man has power, authority on earth to forgive sins. I say to you, rise, take your bed, and go home. And he did, right? So there is a miracle that's deliberately set up to be a picture of the forgiveness of sins. And if you think about it, sin is like an inhibition that prevents us from acting according to the pattern of life that God has for us. Well, the paralytic was prevented by his paralysis from acting normally. So that paralysis is in its own way a kind of picture of the captivity of sin. Jesus starts with the forgiveness of sins, and then the healing of the paralytic is a picture of the forgiveness of sins. But mm-hmm. If now we ask, well, what is the final basis? What is the ultimate grounds why our sins can be forgiven? Because God is a just God and a holy God. And the answer is in the sacrifice and crucifixion of Christ and in his death, that's the basis for forgiving our sins. So the proclamation of forgiveness of sins in this instance is looking forward again to the work of Christ. And his death and resurrection is also an entry into a new life that is free from the sicknesses and distresses of this present life, including the paralytic suffering. I think these healing miracles are actually anticipating the complete healing of the body, which we will experience in the resurrection.
Yes, I'll say hallelujah to that, because these are sign gifts, are they not? I mean, so people will know, as you said, that Jesus is the Messiah. These are the things that were prophesied by the prophets, right, in Isaiah and elsewhere. And so Jewish people were supposed to be looking out for this, about this Messiah. So you will know that he has come, and he has come to, as you say, save us of our sins. And that's what the Lord is there for. And sometimes when you're in church and you hear that Jesus died, but God raised him from the dead, there should be instant applause or instant shouting of praise. And sometimes we're so cold, aren't we? It's a miracle in itself that we will live, and we will live unto eternity in Jesus Christ. I mean, right there, and I don't know how we don't focus on that, but that's why we have you on the program. Dr. Vern Poitras, his book, The Miracles of Jesus, How the Savior's Mighty Acts Serve as Signs of Redemption. And I should mention that you have an interesting pedigree where you have a PhD in mathematics from Harvard University. You became a student at Westminster Theological Seminary, and you've been a professor there for how long?
Yeah, this is my 50th year.
50th year. You're very prominent. When I research you, a lot of people speak very highly of you. People always seem to start, when they talk about Jesus, even people who don't know the Bible well, they immediately will say, we know that Jesus turned water into wine. Is that the first place that people will point out a miracle about Jesus?
But once again, if you ask about why is this significant, Jesus says to his mother, woman, my hour is not yet come, which can sound cold.
Right.
But the significance is you're asking me to supply wine for this feast, and it's not yet time for me to supply the real wine for the final feast, namely the feast of the kingdom of God. So he's thinking, I think, of the in-depth meaning of feasting, and particularly this is a wedding feast, right? Well, we know from the scripture that there is a final wedding feast in the new heaven and the new earth when Christ returns, the marriage supper of the Lamb. So this is anticipatory of redemption.
I'm glad you said it like that, simply because it does sound cold. When we hear it in scripture, my time hasn't come yet, as if he's off-putting Jesus, but he's not. And that, theologically, that makes sense. The funny thing, I don't see how people can see Jesus as being uptight or anything like that. He's enjoying himself at the wedding feast, having done a miracle. We ought to have a good time, right, in the church as we praise him.
Yeah, it is relevant. The point is that these were feasts. They're times of joy to enjoy and to honor the goodness of God.
And wasn't it the disciple John? I mean, if it was mentioned in the Gospel of John, of course, John mentions that the world wouldn't be able to fill up all the books, if you will, of all the miracles that he has done. So right there, it's amazing to think that so many more miracles that Jesus performed. And so if you had to lead us to, forgive me, it sounds bad to say his greatest hits, right? His greatest hits when it comes to miracles, but where would you direct us to?
Well, I mentioned the resurrection of Lazarus, and I think it is an outstanding miracle, not only because he's been dead 4 days. I mean, the sisters, Mary and Martha, had given up hope when they meet Jesus. If you had been here, her brother would not have died. And even now, Martha says, we know that you are the Son of God who has come into the world. But what's striking is that then Jesus, when their hopes are dead in terms of their brother, and he brings them back to life. So it's a spectacular miracle. In addition, John has only a few select miracles. You're right that there are many more, and he's aware there are many more. But the ones he selects are particularly important. So if I had to single out another one, oh boy, it gets hard, because the feeding of 5,000 is a miracle that's described in all four Gospels, one of the few that is described in all four Gospels. And you think, well, it must be particularly important. And in John, Jesus uses it again as a sign, because he says, I am the bread of life, in the discourse in John 6 that follows the description of the miracle, to point to himself as the ultimate one who supplies the food. Once you eat of it, you never die, he says. And he compares that to the Old Testament manna, and he says, they ate this manna, which was bread from heaven, in the wilderness, but they died. But he who eats this bread will never die. He describes his own unique ministry and the salvation that he brings.
Dr. Poitras, isn't it unusual that a lot of people who had hardness in their hearts in the scriptures, and they were sinful in saying to Jesus, just show us a miracle, and we will believe. Having said that, God knows what's in their hearts that they would never believe, even if he showed them all these miracles and it was wrong for them to come to him that way. And would you address that? Because it sounds almost hypocritical that they're asking for miracles, but it was disrespectful in the way that they did that.
You're right. There's quite a bit in the Gospels about this element of resistance. And the people, some of them ask for signs, and particularly the religious leaders.
Mm-hmm.
What sign have you to show us for the authority of your teaching? When he's teaching in the temple, they ask him this. And he says, I have a question for you. Was the baptism of John from heaven or from men? And that question is actually not irrelevant because it's John the Baptist, who was an early witness to Christ. He says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So that would be one of the evidences for Jesus' own authority in his teaching. So the question is not irrelevant, but it also puts the leaders on the spot because they discuss it with one another and they say, if we say from heaven, he will say, why did you not believe him? And that's their problem, really, because they should have believed him. He was a genuine prophet from God. Alternative, if we say from men, all the people will stone us because they're convinced that John was a prophet. So they end up saying, we don't know, which is essentially evasive. It shows, basically, that they are not committed to truth. Mm-hmm. They're committed to their own reputation.
Mm-hmm. It seems like a hardness of the heart. I mean, because these miracles that people believed, I love all through Scripture, as we see the miracles of Jesus and people coming to faith in Christ, eternal life, and their lives change. And that's what the Lord wants to do. We're with Dr. Vern Poitras. He's the author of the book, The Miracles of Jesus, How the Savior's Mighty Acts Serve as Signs of Redemption. Christians, they often view Jesus' miracles simply as proofs of his divinity. However, prolific author Vern Poitras, he shows in his new book, they also serve as signs of redemption, foreshadowing the salvation that Christ accomplished through his cross and resurrection. We'll be right back right after this.
So, do you ever speak to an audience or record your voice for work? Do you record, say, company podcasts, or maybe you lead training seminars, or maybe you give customer presentations or investor pitches, or what about recording social videos or even an audiobook? If so, then you've got to know how important it is to maintain your professional image. However, 98% of people who speak or record for work damage their professional image when they do. They appear unpolished, and it damages their professional image. And that is where I step in. I'm a speaking and presentation feedback coach, and for 36 years, I've helped thousands of CEOs, celebrities, authors, politicians, business professionals take the spotlight by giving them real-time feedback and specific adjustments on their speaking style, their lighting setup, their sound quality, their body language, and their visual appearance. Everything they need to look and sound amazing. So listen, you only have one professional image. Be kind to it. If you speak or present for work, get in touch with me before you speak or present for work. Reach me at david@edgestudio.com. Again, david@edgestudio.com. Thank you.
Real Traps is the premier source for high-performance acoustic treatment, including bass traps, broadband absorbers, and diffusers. Once a room has been properly treated, clarity and articulation of music and speech improve enormously. Our clients include famous mixing and mastering engineers, corporations, and even a research lab at MIT. Whether you're a professional recording engineer, audiophile, or home theater owner who wants the best sound possible, upgrade your entire system with acoustic treatment from Real Traps. Visit realtraps.com.
Okay, we're back with Dr. Vern Poitras. He has a book, The Miracles of Jesus. And so I don't want to beat the church down or anything like that, but I don't hear these sermons about the miracles of Jesus. I mean, there should be a whole series of this simply because of what it can do to the heart and preparing the heart and opening up the heart to receive Christ as their Lord and Savior, these miracles. So where do you stand when it comes to, if you will, sitting and pondering about the miracles of Jesus? How has this changed you as you've written about it and as you tell people about the miracles of Jesus?
I wrote the book partly to help pastors to preach and teach well on the miracles, to recognize that again and again, they give us pictures that help to explain what Christ did when he died for us, when he was risen again. And I never get tired of that message, particularly as it's presented in the Gospels in a variety of ways, because you can say, oh, you know, if we just went over the story directly of the crucifixion and the resurrection, after a certain number of times, the temptation is to say, well, I've already heard that. But what you haven't heard is the depth of what's going on and the significance. It's helped me as I've thought about the miracles of Jesus. And also, this goes together with miracles and other signs in the Old Testament, because there are what's called types. It's a technical word for a symbol that points forward to a fulfillment. So, for instance, the tabernacle, it's a tent, but it's a special tent where that depicts God dwelling with his people, because it has this symbolism in it. It is a type, and it points forward to Christ dwelling on earth and then dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So we become a temple of the Holy Spirit, each of us individually, and the church as a body, according to 1 Corinthians 3:16. So that's an illustration of a type from the Old Testament. But after I had worked on these for a while, and to the encouragement of my own soul, because it helps me to appreciate the grandness of God's plan and the spectacular character of what's happened now that we see the plan come to fulfillment and come to a climax in the work of Christ. So after I had done some of that, I realized that the miracles of Jesus are operating somewhat in the same way, except Jesus himself is already on the scene. But they picture aspects of what he's going to accomplish, especially in his crucifixion and resurrection.
There's indication in the Old Testament, right, about this Messiah, these sign gifts, and people should know. I'm a Jewish Christian, right? And so when I talk to other Jewish people, so you're looking for the Messiah. And when you mentioned about gifts, the signs of the Messiah's coming, sometimes it's just, huh? They just overlook the fact that these signs are indicators for you. So you will know that your Messiah has come. Do you see just as many miracles in the Old Testament as the New Testament?
Well, there's clusters, aren't there? Because in the Exodus, for example, the plagues and then the dividing of the waters of the Red Sea and miracles in the wilderness and miracles in the conquest. But then there's a long period where it's less spectacular. And then in the New Testament, there's a concentration of miracles in the earthly life of Christ. But it goes together with the fact of what God is accomplishing in redemption. It's understandable. It makes sense that these spectacular things would accompany the crucial times when God is, as it were, turning the world upside down in terms of the hearts of people, that would have its expression in spectacular events which depict the spectacular character of the change of heart as well as depict the coming resurrection of the body.
Even if you don't go to church very often and you hear about Christmas, you know, and you go to church during Christmas time or Easter, you're forced to be confronted by the miracles of Jesus, you know, the virgin birth or God raising Jesus from the dead, you know, and rose from the grave. So I like that, the fact that you have to come face to face with these miracles to see the deity of who Jesus is, who God is. You can't get away from it, right?
Yeah, and in the book of Acts, one of the prominent features of the preaching of the gospel is the proclamation of Jesus' resurrection, and then also his present reign at the right hand of the Father. I know there are people who, you know, they say, I can't make sense of this and that that's happening politically, yes, and what's happening in wars and so on. Mm-hmm. Well, God is not chosen to reveal the meaning of every last thing in history, but the rule of Christ at the right hand of the Father is a guarantee that he is working out his plan, and it will work out for his own glory and for the benefit of those who belong to Christ the Messiah.
It's the miracles of Jesus. We're learning a lot. The book by Dr. Vern Poitras, The Miracles of Jesus, How the Savior's Mighty Acts Serve as Signs of Redemption. I have to ask you, This is kind of a miracle in itself. You know, you have a PhD in mathematics from Harvard University. You must be asked this all the time, and how that all of a sudden played a part. And were you headed in a different direction? Or how do you find even that, you know, your PhD in mathematics carries over to your theology?
Well, it is a question that I'm asked. But God gifted me in mathematics, and I love mathematics. So it seemed the plan for my life was I would be a college teacher of mathematics, and I would help the Christians on campus. So I was thinking of a life in those terms. The Lord laid on my heart gradually more and more interest in studying the Bible and theology. And by the time I was halfway through my doctoral work at Harvard University, I realized I really love what I'm doing in Bible and theology more than I love mathematics. What is God saying, right?
I want to mention Dr. Vern Poitras. Go get the book, The Miracles of Jesus. We need to spend more time about our Savior and the mighty acts as they serve as signs of redemption. And so thank you so much for writing this, your scholarship and who you are. And God bless you. And thank you for being on the program.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me.
Our sponsors, Real Traps, is the premier source for high-performance acoustic treatment, including bass traps, broadband absorbers, and diffusers. Once a room has been properly treated, clarity and articulation of music and speech improve enormously. Whether you're a professional recording engineer, audiophile, or home theater owner who wants the best sound possible, upgrade your entire system with acoustic treatment from Real Traps. Visit realtraps.com.